I do believe that you're praying for me tonight, and I thank you for that. I do ask that you just continue. I appreciate the prayer that's gone before. The fellowship we have in the Lord Jesus Christ means so much to me here in this world. To have friends that mean more than I can put in words, our fellowship in the Lord and our kinship in Christ. I know that if it were not for the grace of God, we wouldn't have this, and I do thank God for that. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, if I have a text, it'll be found tonight in the book of 2 Timothy, the writings of the Apostle Paul to the young minister Timothy. This is the second epistle of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy. We'll begin reading right in the very first chapter of 2 Timothy tonight. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he addresses Timothy in that way in the very first verse of 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am an appointed and a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul encouraging the young preacher Timothy to remain steadfast in the faith once delivered to the saints. Paul spoke as an apostle, one that was directly sent by the Lord. One directly called and sent by the Lord was considered to be an apostle, and was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. The apostles had authority that had been given to them by the Lord in a special way to declare the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, to declare the things that Christ had taught them and had given unto them to declare. And when they declared them with authority. And there were signs that followed the apostles. We call them the apostolic signs, signs that came as the gift of God to show to those that were listening to the apostles that what they said and taught were truly of the Lord. And these were many gifts of healing, the gifts of tongues, many of the things we read about in the scriptures that sometimes people try to have and want to have today and use today to try to show that their authority is from the Lord. We know that in the day and time we're living right now that we have the Bible. And Brother Terry has mentioned the Lord has given us the Bible. And the apostles, when they were here, had the Old Testament. But they were in the process, and the writing of the New Testament was taking place in the days and the times of the apostles. And though there is no conflict and no contradiction between what the Old Testament and the New Testament taught, the New Testament was bringing to light many things that were hidden in types and shadows in the Old Testament. The New Testament, as it was being written, was bringing many of those things to light so that they could clearly know and understand what Jesus taught, that the Old Testament taught, so that there was an understanding of those things that had been hidden in days past. There, some things that were in the dark were being brought to life. Some things that were not understood were becoming understood. All of the types and the shadows of the old law covenant that many were going through those, the motions of those services, but not understanding what was being described there and which was being pictured there. And the apostles in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews, deals a whole lot with the Old Covenant and the New Covenant and the Old Testament and the New Testament and brings to light so many things that were under the Old Law Covenant and what they really meant, and allows us to see them under the New Covenant, in the New Testament. And what a blessing it is to see the beautiful pictures of the message of the Gospel in the Old Testament from the clear testimony of the New Testament. And that was given unto the apostles. Now, by what authority did those apostles speak? They didn't come with 2 Timothy like I'm coming with tonight, because 2 Timothy hadn't been written yet. They didn't come with the book of Revelation. They didn't come with the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because those things were being written. But they preached those things that were being written and were writing those things that had been given to them, and those signs followed them. And then when the fullness of the Bible was complete and we are throughly furnished unto all good works, the signs that were necessary, really, that weren't as good as what we have, in a sense, because what we have is the authority of the Scripture tonight. And that's why we don't need a sign. we don't need. And you know, he said in one place, those seeking after signs, he said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there will be no sign given unto them but the sign of the prophet of Jonas. That is, Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And that's the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight we go to what the apostles taught, and they have been approved of God with the signs that followed, and you can count on this Bible, is what I'm trying to say. I said a whole lot to tell you this. You can count on this being God's word. The Lord has put his stamp of approval on it. The Lord has given it unto his apostles. And Paul wrote as an apostle. And he wasn't an apostle of just anyone. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ isn't just anyone. Jesus Christ is Jesus, Savior, Christ, the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the one who was with God in the beginning, who verily was God, who is Emmanuel, God made manifest in the flesh, who lived his life and died a death on the cross that saved and secured every one of his children for heaven and immortal glory, and there'll not be one of them lost that he loved and paid the sin debt for. He will have all of them with him in glory. And Paul spoke as his apostles. Tonight, I hope we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some who discount that as not being very important. As long as you serve God, it doesn't matter whether you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, the Scripture teaches us that if we're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not truly serving the Lord. Because he said, I and my Father are one, and no man can come unto the Father but by me, and neither can any man come to the Son but by the Father. And so, that being the case, you can't say, well, I'm serving God, but I discount Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ, he is the only name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved or delivered. And you can throw any type of salvation in that you want, whether it's time, in a temporal way, or eternal, which is certainly the case. There is no salvation outside of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news about that is it's finished. He didn't try to do it, he did it. Paul spoke as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he did that by the will of God. And he did it according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, there's no life in any other. There is no life in any other. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one who speaks and makes us alive. He is the one who gives us life. It is by Him that we move and live and have our being. We need Him tonight as much as anything in this world, or more than anything in this world. He is the source of our life, the keeper of our life. He is our everything. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Over in the Psalms, in verse 37 of the Psalms, the psalmist writes this, and this is just something I want to keep in my mind and in my thoughts as I go through my life. In Psalm 27, he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And by that, he's talking about Jesus Christ. "Whom shall I fear?" He's going to tell us that the Lord didn't give us the spirit of fear. And here's why: we're not to fear what men will do to us, or what men think about it, what men say. There's an attack on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ going on in the world today. It went on yesterday and the day before that, and has been going on, and it will continue to go on, where those that take the name of Jesus will be mocked and ridiculed and made light of, and that's going to grow and intensify in this old world. And you and I need to understand, let God be true and every man a liar, because the Lord is my light. Is He your light tonight? I'm telling you, if He's your light, you're not in the dark. I'll tell you, the rest of the world may be in the dark, but you won't be in the dark if He's your light. Because with Him, the day and the night are the same. In Him, there is no darkness at all. Isn't that good to have that kind of God? He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Listen, if I need salvation, and I do, He is my salvation. He's my help, my strength. He's my reason that I have a hope of being with Him in heaven. And He's the reason that I have peace in my heart right now here in this world. And the only peace I can find, the only deliverance I can find in time in this world, is that which I'm going to find when I'm trusting and leaning upon Him. Who are we trusting in tonight? If you're trusting in the Lord, you're trusting in your light. If you're trusting in the Lord, you're trusting in your salvation. If you're trusting in the Lord tonight, you're trusting in one who cannot fail. If you're trusting in the Lord, you're trusting in one who said, "I'll be with you and never leave you and never forsake you. That I will guide your feet and direct your path." And if you lean upon Him and trust in Him, you'll have perfect peace as your mind is stayed upon the Lord. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" The Lord is the strength of my life. You ever just feel like all my strength is gone? Been there, haven't you? Well, just tired and weary. "I'm poor, weak, and worthless," the hymn writer wrote, "though I am." He didn't stop there, did he? That would be gloom and despair. "Poor, weak, and worthless, though I am." He went on to say, "I have a rich, almighty friend." Isn't that good? You know, you can be poor, but if you got rich friends, you're okay. You can be in the dark and ignorant, but if you've got one who's the light of the world as your friend, you got all the light you need. And if you have that friend that Jesus is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the one we can lean upon in this old world. He said, "He is the strength of my life." And then because of that, he said, "Of whom shall I be afraid?" I want to remind us tonight, when all the world seems to be threatening us, when everyone and everything around you seems like, "I'm coming to get you, and I'm going to do this to you, and I'm going to do that to you." Listen, they may come. They may break into your home. They may take your very life, but in this old world. But they cannot touch you outside of the providential care of Almighty God. His hand is upon you. And if they take your very life, they couldn't do it without the Lord. And the Lord would have to suffer it to be. And not only that, that won't take your eternal life, will it? It's just like those little Hebrew children said, you know, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "O king, we're not careful to answer you in this matter concerning this fiery furnace. If it be so, the Lord can deliver us from this fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from thy hand, O king." But either way, we're not going to bow down. And the reason is, we're not going to fear what men will do to us. And he said, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident." In other words, my trust is in the Lord. So tonight, no matter our circumstances, if we're trusting in the Lord, we're going to be at peace. And if we're not, we're in trouble. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said to the promise, according to the promise of life, back over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, which is in Christ Jesus. He said to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. The Apostle Paul had a love for this young minister, and he wasn't his son as a natural son. He was his son in the sense of son in the ministry. The Apostle Paul had been used of the Lord. And of course, if the Lord had not opened the ears and the heart and worked in young Timothy and brought him from a state of death, which he was in by nature, in sin, to a state of life in Christ, the words of the Apostle Paul would have been nothing to this young preacher. But Paul had been blessed of the Lord to preach, given to the grace of God to preach, and it had found the preaching that was preached had found a lodging place in the heart of young Timothy, and Timothy had heard these truths and had learned them and had been taught by them, and as such Paul spoke to him as a beloved son, a son that not in the sense that he'd made him a child of God, but in the sense that he had been a father to him in the ministry. Now, I look back in the years past and even think of some dear brethren today that have meant so much to me as we've made an effort to try to pastor churches or to feed the children of God. Times that we have felt not so much in need of help and instruction, and there have been good brethren in my life that I would call fathers in the ministry that I've called. My own dad, and many times I've been able to call and talk to and find some strength from the instruction he gives me in God's Word. And I will say this, no one has ever helped me that didn't come from God's Word to help me. And if you want to help somebody, don't just give them your opinion. That usually won't be any better than their opinion. Don't just share with them what you think about it, because usually what you think about it isn't much different than what they think about it, and it's not of much benefit. Unless what you share with them or what you think is in line with God's Word, it won't be of any help. I'll tell you, dear ones, as God's little children, mamas, daddies, whatever your situation is, you can help your children by sharing with them the truth. And when you come from the Word of God with a friend that's in need, or you go out into this world and someone asks a question, and you come from the Bible and share with them what the Bible says, it can be a great benefit to the Lord's people. Not only that, that is what we're supposed to do, isn't it? If we're going to answer, shouldn't we answer in accord with God's Word? And if that's the case, that means I need to know a little bit about God's Word. You know, sometimes we think, well, as long as the preacher knows, I'll be okay. Well, not if the preacher isn't close by. You go, and even then, you're trusting in who? If you're trusting in, wouldn't that be in more in man? Then, you know, you want to trust in your minister, but only follow him as far as he follows the Lord. So what you would want is to know what the Word of God, study to show yourselves approved unto God, workmen that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so when we come to the house of God, when is the preaching of the gospel a blessing to you, and when is it a comfort? It's when the minister brings from the Word of God that truth that you need to hear, that you get fed on. And so it's really not him, but the Lord who's feeding and the Lord who's teaching. And ultimately, what does that result in? It results in us giving the Lord the praise and the glory. So he spoke to the young Timothy as his dearly beloved son, a relationship the Lord had given them. You know, we look at one another here primarily, I think, as more brothers and sisters. I know some dear ones I've considered fathers and mothers, many of them going home to be with the Lord. I still have some that are still here and still around, but many of those have gone home. And now many of the ministering friends I look to are my brethren in the ministry, and many of my church brethren. You're my brothers and my sisters. Think of the wonderful relationship the Lord's given us. And we love one another because the Lord has first loved us. And we share this truth with one another and encourage one another. As Paul had for Timothy a love and wanted him to walk in the truth, I have a love for you, and I want you to walk in the truth, and I do believe you have a love for me, and you want me to walk in the truth. And so together we want to walk along in this world in the truth. And as we do that, we shine forth the light of Christ from the assembly, the body of believers, that will also attract others of God's little children who are walking in a dark world. And when we don't do that, well, we put our light under a bushel. So as much as we can, let's pray for your brethren, pray for one another, that we would walk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. He says this, In almost every writing of the Apostle Paul, I believe every writing, this salutation you'll find grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. That sounds like old Baptist sermons to me. That's the meat and the text. What we heard this weekend that really fed my heart. The brethren, if they had to come in preaching something other than grace and mercy and peace, I don't believe I'd have enjoyed the meeting. I don't believe I'd have fed on the truth. If they share the truth, the message is going to be one of grace, God's unmerited favor shown to us, and mercy, God sparing what we deserve, and His grace giving us what we don't deserve, and then peace coming as a result of what God has done for us, and walking in what God has done for us. And all of this comes from where? God the Father. And from whom? And Jesus Christ, Jesus, who is our Lord. So we have from the New Testament, when you go over to the Old Testament and you're reading about the Lord, it's talking about Jesus. And really, when it's talking about the Father, it's talking about the Son. And when it's talking about the Son, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Then he says, verse 3, I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And that's what I love about our little meetings, when we do take the time to bring to the attention of all the brethren the needs of the church. It's been a blessing to pray for God's little children here in this world. And I'm sure thankful the brethren have been praying for me. I feel your prayers. They mean a lot to me. When I know the brethren are praying, it means a great deal to me. And it's a blessing to be able to get on my knees when I'm concerned about the church and the church brethren and look to the Lord, who's able to change things and does. I love to hear where He has done a work, and I see the evidence of that work. I love to see His activity. I love to see His handprint and His work in the lives of the Lord. People, and I know the Bible teaches, and I've seen in my own life, and I know you have too, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Haven't you seen that? Well, if you've been delivered from that, and that has been your case, aren't we obligated to say something about it? Isn't that something we ought to be talking about? I mean, if somebody does something good for us, we usually want to tell somebody about it. This is what they did. I'll tell you what, the Lord's been good to you tonight. He's been good to me. We have something to say about that. We ought to be saying amen every time we hear someone say, ain't the Lord good? We ought to be thanking Him for His goodness and His mercy. And if He never gives us anything else, oh, He's already loaded us with so much that we could never thank Him in an eternity for all that He's already done. And then the Bible goes on and says, as sure as we're alive tomorrow, He will daily load us with benefits just like He has today. And so we have the promises not only of yesterday that we've been given, but today right now that we're living. And if the Lord tarries and we have a tomorrow, He'll be with us there tomorrow. Now I don't know, in this old troubled world, when I turn on the television and see somebody on there threatening everybody and all kinds of things like they have so much power, it sure gives me a whole lot of comfort to know they're not in control. Doesn't it you? I know one thing. One day every tongue will confess. One day every knee will bow. Every day every scoffer's mouth will be closed and shut. And I want to be declaring that which I know to be the truth, that one day every tongue will confess, some to the praise of God, and some just confessing like the devils do. They're going to be made to confess just as well. As a matter of fact, they're made to do that already. They have to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, because He has more power than they do, and He will put them in their place in His time. And one day, all will be made right. And we know that from the promises of God's Word. Until that time, you and I are just to wait on the Lord and tarry until He comes and do that which He would have us to do and live in the way that He would have us to live. And that's what He's telling here, young Timothy. He says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. We want to not just be praying on Sunday. We want to be praying all week, all the time. When someone's sick, well, thank the Lord that He's able to heal the sick. And when He heals them, thank the Lord that He heals them. and then ask the Lord just to continue to be with them. And let us be content with His will. You see, He knows better than we know. He knows what's good for us. He knows just what to give us and what to hold back. He knows what, and we can be content with Him and all that He does, because He never does, and He's not like us. I do some things sometimes right, very seldom, but sometimes do some things right. And if I do that, it's by the grace of God. But even in my best effort, I've got enough mess with it that it's not the way it ought to be. Listen, the Lord has never done anything that ought not be done. He's never answered any prayer the wrong way. He's always given us just what we need. And when His answer is no, we need to be just as settled with a no as we are with a yes. And that's easy to preach, but sometimes it's hard to practice. Sometimes it's easy on Sunday night in the pulpit, and it's hard on Monday morning when you get to school. But I want to be one who's praising Him Monday just as much as Sunday, don't you? And Tuesday and Wednesday and every other day that He's given us. He said, "I have remembrance of thee." Listen, we should be praying for one another day and night. And He says, "Greatly desiring to see thee." That's a desire to have fellowship. I desire to have fellowship with the brethren. Matter of fact, I just don't think I could live without y'all's fellowship. I wouldn't want to try. You know, there's some people that seem to be able to go a while without having it, but I need it. I need the fellowship of the Lord's people. I need to get together with God's people. I need to hear the songs of Zion sung. I need to hug your neck. I need to hear the expressions of God's people that they love the Lord, and to hear the preaching of the gospel that declares the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need that instruction in this world. I need that communion, that fellowship. And you know, I know I can get online and just go on Brother Terry's where he's got that website, and of course a whole lot of me on there. I'd rather listen to some others. I can click on some of them and listen to them. Can't do too much with my own, but I can listen to them. And I know that I can get a whole lot from that, but that's okay and good, and I'm thankful for it. But I tell you, I need to be present. I need to present my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. And I get something out of the little comments coming from the brothers and the sisters. I get something out of the movement of the Spirit of God in their eyes and in their facial expressions. Listen, you're communicating with me. Sometimes y'all don't talk near as much as I want you to. If I could stir you up, I'd do it. Listen, I would. He said to young Timothy, he said, "Stir up the gift of God that thou stir up." I would to God tonight that all of us would stir up the gift of God. What does that mean? It means don't quench the Spirit. It means when you feel the Lord moving in your life, you go with that. You lean on that. That's the sweetest thing. That's the closest thing you get to heaven in this world, when you feel the Lord moving in your life. And sometimes we think, well, I'll look a little peculiar, or somebody might think I'm strange. I tried to think of the hymn. I couldn't find it, and it hadn't come to me. But it says, though the world may think it strange, I would not with the world exchange. How do you feel about that? They might think it strange when I get to crying up here in the pulpit. Or they might think it strange when I get excited, or somebody shouts a little bit, or somebody gets lifted up in the Lord and feels His presence to the point that it moves them physically, and tears flow from their face, or a smile comes across their face, and somebody will think, well, if I look like that, I'm going to look a little strange. Listen, who cares what the world thinks? I don't. I don't want to. Right now, I don't. Sometimes I do. Shame on me when I do. I want to praise Him. And if, listen, He said on one occasion when they were praising Him, listen, if they be quiet, the rocks are going to cry out. He is going to be praised in glory. He ought to be praised down here. Lift up your voice. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him in your heart. Praise Him with your lips. Praise Him with your hands. Praise Him with your feet. May all that I am praise Him. May my breath praise Him, because He's worthy of all the praise I can offer unto Him. And I believe He said, young Timothy, you stir up that gift of God that is in you. And listen, tonight, if you're born of the Spirit, you've got the gift of God in you. And I know we can't do anything. Listen, we feel that, don't we? I can't do anything. And in yourself, you cannot do anything. But in the Lord, you can do whatever it would be that He would have you to do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He is my... Be strong in the Lord. How? And in the power of His might. Listen, is He strong? Yes. He said, my strength is given to you. You can be in the walk in the power. He's not given us the spirit of fear where we ought to be shaking and trembling. But He's given us a spirit of power, which means I can do whatever God would have me to do. That's why Daniel looked at a den of lions and didn't get worried about it. I don't know how much Daniel felt about it when he went in. The Bible doesn't give us the details of what he felt like. But I know when he went in there, he was just as safe as he was ever in his whole life, because he was protected by the God of heaven, who was able to shut the mouths of the lions. I know when those Hebrew children went into the Red Sea, there wasn't a chance or a possibility they could be destroyed. As they went forward in obedience to the will of God, even when Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord said, Moses, why are you telling them to... Really, he said, why stand? Go forward, because the pillar and the cloud had gone forward and they were to step forward in faith into that sea. And when it did... Oh, listen, there's a time to stand still when the Lord says stand still. But when He said go forward, it's time to go. You and I are able to go in this world. I don't know how I can be the preacher that I need to be. I know this, without the Lord I can't. I know with Him I can. You can say the same thing about being... Have you ever felt like being a dad is more than I can handle? And I don't know what to do? And you in yourself don't have the ability. But I'm telling you, God gives you the ability to do things you never believe you're able to do. And you wonder, how can I guide my children or direct them in this old troubled world? I don't know how. And without Him, we couldn't. But I'm telling you, with the Lord, you're able to be that mama, that daddy, that grandmama, that granddaddy. Whatever He would have you to be, you're able to do it. You'll never be that without Him. But with Him, you can do whatever He would have you to do. And that's the God we have. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And he said, I was greatly desiring to see thee. You know why he wanted to see him? Because he wanted to tell him what I'm trying to tell you tonight and what we're telling one another. That we have a great God. We have a friend in Jesus. We have one worthy of our trust. You walk with Him. You talk with Him. You lean upon Him. You call on Him. When you feel in the dark, He'll be your light. When you feel weak, He's your strength. When you feel like you don't know what to do, He's your wisdom. He is your redemption. When you feel like and hear the devil say, you sin and you're going to be cast away from Him, remember, He's the one who took your sins in His own body at Calvary and paid a sin debt you could not pay. And though He will stand and accuse, the accuser will have his mouth shut, because there'll be one who stands as our advocate and as our mediator between God and man. That one man, the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was not only man, but verily God. Listen, He's everything. And He's my friend and our friend. He says that I may be filled with joy. Oh, it's a good thing when God's little children get together, because you get filled with joy. We had a happy time this weekend. You know, Happy Creek. I like the name Happy Creek. It's a happy place. When the Lord's with us, it's a happy place. When we get in here and get in the flesh, it's not a happy place. It's a big... We just fuss and feud and fight, and it doesn't take long for us to fall out. When we get our eyes off one another and on the Lord, though, it's a happy place, isn't it? And isn't that true of your homes? You know, you get your home and you have your home and you get your eyes off the Lord, it's not long before things aren't like it. You know, you go like, what happened? This is supposed to be a happy home, and it's more of a, you know, a battleground than a happy home. Dear ones, listen, without the Lord in our homes, it won't be a happy home. You can have the biggest house in this world, but it'll never be a happy home unless the Lord's ahead of your household. He's the one you're looking to. Mamas and daddies and whatever such as your home is. You remember the King who's on the throne is the Lord. And that will give us peace and rest in our lives. And he said that I may be filled with joy. And then in verse 5 he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is that in thee also. Now, the faith that was in Timothy wasn't because his mother Eunice had faith. And the faith that was in Eunice was not because his grandmother Lois had faith. You see, the Lord had to work personally in the life of his grandmother Lois. It didn't come. It's not a blood, is it? The new birth, when in John 3, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he spoke of that birth, and he said it was not of, and it was in that earlier part in John, it's not of blood, nor the will of man, nor of blood, but of God. If one is born again, he's born from above. But oh, how beautiful it is when you see that in a family where you have a grandfather and a father and a son, and there's a relationship and a kinship in the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to have that in families? Now listen, the only way that happens is the Lord individually works in the life of every one of them. We can't give them that. We're not the one who gives faith. We're not the author of faith. We're certainly not the finisher of the faith. But the Lord is the one who's the author and finisher of our faith. And what he's saying is, I saw this faith in your grandmother. Oh, that was something. And I saw it in your mother. Now I see it in you. I can say that over many little churches where I've seen the brethren come in. I've seen mamas and I've seen it in their children. I've seen that same faith. Now, where did that come from? Did they teach them that? No. No, if they could, they would, but you can't, can you? It has to come from the Lord. And oh, it's a wonderful thing when the Lord so blesses a family with that. Oh, how delightful it is when you see the same faith that is given by the grace of God that, you know, you would love your children to understand, but they can't see it or understand it unless the Lord opens the eye and the heart and the understanding. But when he opens it, listen, it's open. What a blessing that is. And he said, that faith that I'm persuaded that is in thee also. And he's telling him that, wherefore, because of this faith, he said, I put thee in remembrance. He wanted to remind him. And that's what I want to do tonight, remind you. That you stir up the gift of God. He said, which is in thee. Now notice, the gift is of God, and it's in him by the putting on of my hands. I believe he came under the hands of the presbytery, and there was a presbytery of elders. There wasn't any special gift in the laying on of those hands, but there was a recognition that God had given a gift, and that those hands were laid there to show and identify that God had given a gift of the preaching of the gospel to this young man, Timothy. And Paul had acknowledged that by the putting on of his hands. The gift came from where? It's the gift of Paul? No, it was the gift of God. And it was where? It was in Timothy. Where did it come from? It came from God. And Paul had recognized that by the putting on of his hands. And then in verse 7 he said, for God had not given us the spirit of fear. In other words, God didn't cause us to be afraid. There's sometimes when we are called on to go preach and to teach a certain passage or a certain lesson that in our hearts by nature we get a little afraid. You know, have you ever been in a place where you knew this is the truth that needed to be said, and yet you're wondering how well it was going to be received, and so you just thought, well, should I share it? Listen, that spirit is not in, that doesn't come from the Lord. And especially with a minister. A minister is to preach what the Lord lays on his heart. He's preaching not to scratch the ears of his congregation or to please them. But I have an old nature in me that wants to please those that I'm. I want everybody to believe what I believe. I want everybody to hear it and receive it. I want them to not only hear it and receive it, I want them to be happy about it. I want them to be excited. I want them to hear that. But I know just as sure as I stand and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there'll be those who've been given the ears by the Lord that will hear it and believe it, and there'll be those who won't want to have a thing to do with it and despise me because of the preaching of it. What the Bible is saying here to young Timothy, he said, you preach the word. As Paul said, you be instant in season and you be instant out of season. You reprove, you rebuke, you exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure a sound doctrine. He said, just preach. And that's what we're supposed to do. Now, I sure do love it when you love to hear it and when you feed on it. But I'm supposed to preach it whether it makes you happy or whether it makes you mad. I'd much rather it make you happy. Paul said it this way, let God be true and every man a liar. We are to preach the truth and declare it. And he said, God has not given us the spirit of fear. He said, but of power. What that means is God gives us the ability to speak it in a way that we're trusting in the Lord and dependent upon the Lord. And when the Lord's in the matter, there's a power in the preaching of the gospel. And he says he's given us a spirit of power. And he's given that to his children too. And of love. Aren't you glad God moves in us and operates in us by love? It's not scare ye, my people. But it is comfort ye, my people, saith your God. That God moves in your heart in a loving way. And draws you with loving kindness. His banner over you is love. And he said, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, when the world hears the gospel declared, they consider it foolish. But listen, God's little children who have a mind to understand and know the gospel have a true sound mind. You know the truth. You know how the world was made. The man of the world doesn't know how the world is made. He believes something happened and a big bang happened and all of it got here. We believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and understand how the world was made. We not only know that, we know one day the Lord's coming again, don't we? And when he does, he's going to speak the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye. And we'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We believe that this is not a final place for us. We're just passing through. It's a temporary home. We have a place that's prepared for us in heaven, an inheritance, uncorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. And all of those things that are in accord with God's word is of sound mind. And so let's be of sound mind and build our lives upon the teachings of God's word. Verse 8 says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Brethren, let's as much as we can in our hearts not be ashamed to name the name of Jesus. To declare unto others how it is that we are getting along in this world. Who it is that has helped us. Who has been our strength and our light and our encourager. The one who's been a counselor. Wonderful. The mighty God. The everlasting Father. Our light in the dark. May we name his name and declare his name and not be ashamed. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of his doctrine. Oh, I love to tell the story. Tell, like the little woman said, the little hymn writer said, tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me that story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Brethren, let us just tell it over and over and over again. And he says, nor me as prisoner. Apostle Paul here had suffered great affliction for preaching and teaching the gospel, and he was a prisoner of the Lord. He was a prisoner of the Lord's grace. And he said, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And the only way we can do it is by the power of God. Verse 9, he says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Well, that sure sums up salvation, doesn't it? How is it that we're saved? He saved us. How was it that we were called? He called us with a holy calling. Did we do it according to our own purpose? No, it was according to his own purpose and grace. And when was it given to us? It was given us in Christ Jesus. When? When we made a choice of the Lord? No, it was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's when it occurred. Before that, how much did we have to do with it? Oh, brethren, we didn't. We were acted upon. And now, it says, but is now made manifest or brought to light by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. All that was taught in the Old Testament came in fulfillment when Jesus came and walked here on the shores of time. The one who was promised in the Old Testament came. The Messiah came. Emmanuel came. Unto us a son is given. He came and lived his life perfectly and died on the tree of the cross. He was born the Savior. He saved us from our sins. He is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Didn't try to do it, he did it. And hath brought life. Didn't try to do it, but he did it. And immortality. He brought life and immortality. And then with the gospel, he brought the life and mortality to light. Listen, he brought life and immortality. He didn't do that by the gospel. But he brought life and immortality to light by the gospel. The gospel shines the light on the life and the immortality that's given by the Lord. Life comes from the Lord. The gospel tells you about the life the Lord gives you. That's the good news of the gospel. The gospel doesn't make you alive. It shines a light on the living and allows them to see the light the Lord's given them. And that's by the gospel. Paul says, "Whereunto that gospel I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things." He suffered greatly to preach the gospel. "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." And I love this verse, and we sing a song very much that's from this verse. It says, "For I know whom I have believed." And we know tonight who we believed. And are you persuaded? I hope we are with the Apostle Paul. "And persuaded that he is able." Do you believe the Lord is able to keep what we commit unto him? Do you believe the Lord will keep his word? Do you believe he's worthy of our trust and his promises? Do you believe what his Bible teaches us? Listen, he says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And then, just to close out, he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me." And how do you do that? In faith, believing in the Lord, and love. Now, if the Lord hasn't given you faith, you can't believe. But if he's given you faith, you ought to believe. And love. If he's given you love, you ought to love him. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. And then to love the Lord's people. And to do that in faith and love. And all of that is where? Where do I get the faith and the love from? It says, which is in Christ Jesus. Without him, we'd have none of those things. Brethren, what the Lord has blessed us with is so wonderful. And such a blessing to have fellowship with him. How important it is for us not to get complacent about it or lukewarm about it, but to remember to, as much as we can, quench not the spirit. Stir up that pure mind by way of remembrance of how great things the Lord has done for you. So that as you go through every day of your life, you'll see his handprint and his handiwork. Listen, every day he's working in your life. Some days we walk along just like we can't see any of them. It isn't because he isn't doing it. It's because we're not looking. We're not walking by faith. May the Lord help us and bless us to better live in a way to honor and glorify this Lord who is worthy of all our praise. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. I love you, my brother. God bless you.